Hello everyone and welcome to this week's Lemington Hour podcast with me, Gary Jones. I hope you are having an absolutely fantastic week this week and you're enjoying the weather at the moment as I'm sitting in here. It's absolutely baking outside and the sun is shining. Now, let's bear thought through my next guest, who is Malcolm Boyd. Now, he's going to be running 100 miles. Yes, you've heard that correctly. He will be running 100 miles. And I caught up with him to find out his story, his motivation, his training, and why the hell would he want to put his body through that? So this is a two-part interview with Malcolm, and I'm so excited for him being on the show. So let's take it away with part one. Cool. So this interview is a little bit unexpected because at 10:30 last night I saw this guy on Twitter and I saw he was running 100 miles and I thought anybody who's going to be running 100 miles is crazy enough to come on my show. So thank you very much, Malcolm, for coming onto the show today.
No problem. Thank you for asking me, Gary. That's great.
No, it's cool. I think what you're doing is amazing and let's talk about it in this interview. So first of all, just for the people who are unsure about you, who you are, would you mind just kind of giving a brief introduction about you and what you do before we go on to the running side of it?
Yeah, sure. So my name's Malcolm Boyd. I live in Wellsbourne, just outside Warwick, with my wife Caroline, and I've got two young kids, Juliet, who's nearly 7, and Noah, who's 3. So that keeps me busy, combined with my work. I work for a company, DCA Design International, in the centre of Warwick, where I'm a product designer in the medical sector.
Nice. And I'm guessing you do quite a few hours with work and then at home, busy.
Yes. Yeah, work's busy, involves travel, work with international clients, so time zones come into it. And then you get onto Twitter at 10:30 and you get to start responding to messages as they come through as well.
Yeah, that doesn't help, does it, really?
That's good.
But that's good. That's the great thing about Twitter. You just don't know who you're going to meet and you don't know whose profile you're going to stumble across, which is really cool. So in terms of your story and why you decided to run 100 miles, can you talk a little bit about it and how you came to that point?
Yeah, sure. I guess way through back, I used to do a lot of sports, love sports, but hated individual stuff. I did 4x100 relays and loved that sort of side of it, but never really got individual or long distance running or sports.
Mm.
Through university, played a lot, and then basically stopped. I had family and work, grew up, made things very busy. But in December, or the end of November 2015, my father was suddenly diagnosed with a brain tumour. We'd just been to the World Cup in Cardiff and seen Ireland play. I'm from Belfast originally, born and bred, and that was a huge hit. Firstly, they thought it was a mini stroke or sort of an autoimmune disease, which were challenging enough to hear when my dad was 68 at the time, and he's always been a rock. Always there, just for that sort of quick call and have a chat about anything. And then within about a couple of weeks of tests, early December, we were told he had a brain tumour and that he needed to have an operation swiftly. I.e. They were going to operate within hours, if not a couple of days. This was the 17th of December.
Wow, so really quick.
It was very quick. You know, I think I was travelling actually with work, came back on the Wednesday, knowing that there was some problems and that, you know, there might be dad might have had a stroke, came back, and then had a phone call to say, actually, they think it's a brain tumour. You better come home, because I'm based in England, come home to Belfast and see him, really, because the sort of operation he was going to have, open brain surgery, could have, detrimental effects, and it'd be best to come and see him before he gets rushed in. So we flew home and saw him, and then that was sort of the Friday the 18th, I think, of December. He went in just before Christmas, had ultimately it just became a biopsy because they couldn't get everything out, decided that it was too risky and the difference in possible extension of life was so slim. And Christmas Eve, he came home and spent with my brother and his family in Belfast, and then I went over at New Year, where it was confirmed he had basically 6 months to live, and anything they would be doing would be just trying to improve his quality of life. Well, it was not a great, well, it was the worst Christmas ever, worst New Year ever, and just the world was turned upside down for me, my brothers, my mum, and he faced it head on, and was never afraid. He had a strong Christian faith and supported by my mum as well. So they, you know, went off into radiotherapy and chemotherapy, and I've been jogging a bit, just trying to get, you know, trying to stay a little bit fit and work off jet lag and stuff. Gradually, I started thinking, after, you know, actually, I want to do something. I don't want to do something big to raise money to try and support this. I did a crazy amount of research just to try and find what options were available when you're fighting for someone's life. And there were very few avenues other than this kind of chemo and radiotherapy. So I said, well, okay. Started looking around and said to Dad, I'll do something big and do it kind of big in once. I'd never run a marathon or a half marathon in my life before, never done a running event other than sprints at school, and came across the Cotswold Way Challenge. It's called the 100-mile run event, and thought crazily, said to Dad, look, this is nice, it's in the area where I'm from here, it finishes in the centre of Bath. I graduated from Bath University, and my graduation ceremony was in Bath Abbey.
Oh, okay, so there's a link there as well.
Yes, yeah, so the actual finishing line is just the Cotswold Way finishes just outside Bath Abbey. So, you know, I've got some great pictures and great memories of my dad being proud of at that, you know, at that point in time. And well, he was always proud, but it was a particularly poignant moment. So I chatted with him and said, okay, I'm going to do this. And started to find a coach and said, okay, we've got a year to get ready to be able to run 100 miles. And that's basically how I got to it. Sadly, you know, I said to Dad I'd do it, and we both hoped and would love to for him to be there at the finish line, and he said he would want to be.
But yeah.
We both knew deep down that was pretty slim chance. And sadly, he died in the 11th of June 2016, just pretty much 6 months after his diagnosis.
It's never nice to hear anything like this, but the memory and the passion and the activities that you're doing now are at least raising awareness and building upon what your father instilled in you, which is strength. You said he was a very strong and passionate person, and you're not going to be able to do what you're going to do without having that same strength and that passion.
Yeah. So it's I owe him so much, and you know, I guess we didn't leave any words unspoken, and we have a very close relationship, and I have no regrets about not speaking about anything. And I guess just as we learned more and more about the quiet passion and compassion he had for many other people and charities, you know, after his death, and just so proud of him. I want to do something which he would be proud of, and to do something for, you know, other people. It's sadly obviously too late to help my dad, but
no.
Doing this challenge, I thought I'm going to do something that's pushing beyond a marathon. It kind of, some ways, makes it a little bit easier to swallow, because marathons seem the sort of pinnacle of running. And I'm going, well, actually, yeah, I'll go past that and do a little bit more.
Yeah. Well, when you say to someone, yes, I'm going to be running a marathon, people know that it's 26.2 miles, or they know it's a distance that actually is achievable with the right amount of training. And that's no disrespect to anyone who's run a marathon. I've run a marathon before, and I hate to say it, the wheels came off after 14 miles, and it took me, well, got to 14 miles within 2 hours, expecting to finish just over four, and it took me 5.5. So the wheels properly came off. And I've got unfinished business with a marathon. Anyway, when you take, you know, the marathon at 26.2, and then you go to 100, that's a massive difference. So that's where the 100 miles for dad came from. So
yeah.
Are you raising all the money for the brain tumour guys?
Yeah, it's the Brain Tumour Research Charity. They're the national charity focused on, you know, funding research to find a cure for brain tumours. They do a thing, and that's kind of where my sort of target for fundraising, etc., comes from. That they break down their sort of annual requirement to fund their research into how much it costs per day. And so, actually, it's quite a nice thing to be able to say, okay, let's pitch to try, and if we can fund a day through this adventure, it's quite a tangible thing to hold on to.
Brilliant. And how much is it per day? And how much is your target?
Yeah, so a day is £2,740.
Okay.
And I put that as my initial target. You know, I guess, being honest, quietly hoped that we would break through it.
Mm-hmm.
We smashed that early this year after sort of 6 weeks of fundraising.
Oh, good.
And now I sit, having just passed covering 2 days, and we sit at sort of £5,500 raised.
Oh, wow.
In 2.5 months. And so it's, you know, hats off to all those who supported. It's so appreciated. And there's never been a minimum that I needed to raise for this event.
No.
Or for the charity. It's been about awareness and seeing what we could do. So I, you know, combined the 100-mile run, thought about getting the tagline 100 miles for dad, build the website, and it's, you know, framing it around that. And hoping really just to raise as much we can and as much awareness as we can for this to help.
That's brilliant.
To help others have ultimately a few more days with their loved ones than we had with my dad. So.
No, that's excellent. Have you got kind of a secret figure in your mind that you want to kind of get to now?
I guess no, really. I know that's secret, but it's just every couple of weeks we seem to pass another milestone. You know, I do a kind of a weekly update on Facebook, which kind of outlines where we've got to, some of the things I've learned, some of the crazy things that have happened during the week, and a few pictures. And each week we kind of pass another milestone. Last week it was 5,000. This week we've just passed 5,500. So I'm kind of sitting there going, great, where it can go. I'm not stopping pushing it. I'm not stopping some initiatives for fundraising. Just going, yeah, it'd be great to hit 3 days. You know, and when we hit three, it'd be great to hit four.
Brilliant.
Every pound helps here, so it's fantastic, and it's great support to know that
every
mile run, all the hard hours are really going to make a difference.
No, that's cool. Well, I tell you what, let's stop it there for part one, and then when we come back for part two, we'll talk a little bit more about your typical training week, some of the sessions that you're doing. It's going to be massively... It's more about mindsets and behaviours and how it all fits in. Does that sound okay?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Perfect. Cheers.
If you did want to get on the podcast, all you need to do is contact me through Twitter, search me at Leamington Hour, all one word, and then you'll be able to find us. Connect with us. You can check me on LinkedIn and Facebook as well as Gary Jones. But mainly, let me know about your story. Let me know about your business or event. And we'll get it sorted. But I would love to have you on the show. And I would love to hear, promote and connect you with other business owners and help you promote your business or service. Let's rejoin me and Malcolm for part two of this brilliant interview.
Cool. So we're back with part two with me and Malcolm. And in this section, we're going to be talking a little bit more about his training habits, some of the sessions that he's doing, because preparing for 100 miles is just brilliant and crazy and insane, but he's doing it, he's working it. So Malcolm, how did you, once you knew you were going to run 100 miles, you said you enlisted the help of a coach. Let's go through that kind of process to start off with, if that's all right. So there's loads of stuff online, there's loads of items and articles to help you run, but a coach, how can a coach help you more than maybe you doing it yourself?
I guess I should say, there's lots of stuff out there, and everything, different things work for different people. But, you know, I started looking, I guess, in early 2016, downloaded a marathon plan, thought, okay, that'll give me a distance to start with.
Mm-hmm.
Within the first few weeks, my mindset was going out being, okay, every run I want to go out and come back. And Strava says I've been faster, I've got personal bests, I've run for longer, and I've run further. which I know now was just a recipe to get injured, which I then did.
Yep.
So I thought, okay, let's be structured about this. So set about, honestly, researching online, trying to find a coach whose kind of ethos tied up with what I was trying to do,
mm-hmm.
balancing with the costs involved with that. And I found a coach based in Oxford, Full Potential. I get 490 plans from them and phone calls and email support.
Mm-hmm.
And I spoke to him and said, look, this is what I'm aiming to do. He took kind of my history of running, or lack of history of running at that time,
mm-hmm.
and started to develop a plan. And he's probably, his name is Ben, but he's probably fed up me every time we kind of contact to say, you do remember we're heading for 100 miles. I'll follow the plan religiously if that's, we're aligned on what we're going for, because I haven't run 100 miles yet.
Yeah.
And it's still in one way scary and the other way exciting. So
it's quite cool that you said that. He looked at your previous history and then developed a two-week plan. And that's quite cool, because I'm sure things change, things happen. So those two-week plans, you can really kind of amend if things aren't going right, or on the other side of it, if things are going really well, you can extend it and you can make it even bigger or better without the risk of injury.
Yes, that's right. And it's nice that I get two weekly chunks at a month at a time. We talk, I've given her many sort of, family commitments, holidays, work, travel in mm-hmm. advance. So it kind of works that in. So I've often have to travel to the States. I don't want to be doing a long run and a hard session, whilst I'm there and dealing mm-hmm. with jet lag. So that's all worked in. And it's been really helpful. And I've, as I said, saying to him, I'll follow the plan and stick to it with, as if you were aligned on the goal.
Mm.
It involves all sorts of different sessions.
So when you first started to training, how was it kind of set? Were you doing longer runs, or was it more... let's talk about the start of the training from where you were before.
The early training, when I first started off plan, if I'm honest, I kind of went out and came back and said to my wife, my body feels like it's forgotten how to run.
Mm.
It's just like, how am I ever going to run much further than a kilometre? But working with the coach initially, it was short distances, running and walking, which mentally was kind of hard to grasp, but actually that's part of my plan. So run for a number of minutes and walk for a short bit to break it up.
Yeah.
They were they're time-based sessions, and the runs are time-based sessions, so I'm not going out saying I need to do X kilometres or X miles, which one day might take me minutes, the next day might take me hours, depending on how I'm feeling.
Mm-hmm.
It's the time on feed. And so it started with short, small runs, and adding in some sort of sprint sessions. And then gradually we introduced strength and conditioning training, which is an interesting one I can expand on, and then gradually some cross training, which is bikes or swimming,
mm-hmm.
Or I'm a cross trainer, but I avoid the cross trainer because it's the worst piece of equipment ever.
You're not a fan of that.
Well, it's just you don't seem to go very far, but you come off and you're like, I feel like I've done 100 miles on this.
I know what you mean. Yeah, I'm not a fan either. Give me a row machine or a cyclist or a bike any day of the week.
Exactly. And then, so it's just gradually, it's a 4-week cycle on the plan, so it's kind of 3 weeks increasing, a week slightly dropped, and then we kind of pick it up again and up it a little bit more. So where we are now, we're starting to have, to quote my coach, he said, the next session, this is kind of a couple of weeks ago, the next cycle will start to introduce more back-to-back weekend training to mimic fatigue of doing, this multi-day ultra marathon.
Mm.
It's 100 miles over 3.5 days with a stage as long, the longest stage is 36 miles. Mm-hmm. And you want it to start to mimic the feeling of, getting up after doing a marathon the day before and heading out to do more than a marathon mm-hmm. the next day, which is, interesting to hear from your coach, but that's what we've got to go through.
Mm. So at this point, actually, let's talk about the actual event itself for the people who don't know the distances and what it entails.
So the event is a 100-mile run. It's the Cotswold Way, which is a national trail. It starts in Chipping Campden, It's an organised event. It starts in Jimmy Camden on the 9th of June at midday and finishes on Monday the 12th. It's also poignant because actually that's a year and a day after my dad died. So it's
wow.
It's a big occasion in many ways.
Mm.
And the first day, you know, I think the official sort of stages haven't been released yet, but the first day is about 18 miles.
Okay.
To get to the runner's village, where then there's dinner and camping set up, and then breakfast the next morning, and then you've got a time limit. I think you could be at the village the next evening. You can start at 9 a.m. and you've got to be at the village by 6 at the latest. The next day is possibly about 27 miles, going on last year's. The third day then kick up and it's 29 miles. The last day I think is 26 or 36, depending on how it works out. It's about 104 miles, as long as I don't get lost. Yeah.
Is there a big chance of you getting lost?
Yeah, possibly. There's checkpoints along the way, but you have to navigate yourself. And yeah, that's another interesting one. I'm just starting to get my head around and starting to do some exploration of the actual Cotswold Way, see how well it's signposted.
Yeah.
Because on a 100-mile run, you know, putting in a few more miles might seem a small percentage, but that might be the breaking point.
Oh, no, you're going to want to be 100%, more than 100% prepared for the event. Yeah. And that does mean wrecking everything you possibly can, yeah.
So, yeah, that's the event, and it's over those days and finishes in Bath, outside Bath Abbey. So the whole length of the Cotswold Way, which is quite nice as well, because it's a, sort of a single A to B run.
Mm.
And covering a lot of distance. So.
Nice. So what would be a typical kind of training week at the moment for you?
Yeah, so this typical training week at the minute is Mondays are generally strength and conditioning, which I used to think, well, that's just a bit of stretching, it'll help. But actually, these are nearly stress poses, I suppose you could say, where trying to condition the muscles, the leg muscles, so holding some poses, doing some basic bodyweight exercises, which actually always ends up being harder than I think it should be, and feeling tired at the end of something where I'm just, you know, standing still or doing various poses, but it's helping.
Mm.
Tuesdays end up being at the minute, roughly, these are threshold sessions where it's about a 50 minute session, but with a basic warm up at the beginning and then intervals of threshold, and thresholds where you're supposed to hit your sort of 90% of your max heart rate.
Got it. Yep.
Really going for it, and then recover for a minute. Last night was that was 4 minutes threshold, 1 minute walk, 3 minutes, and 2 minutes, and 1 minute, and two sets of those. And then generally, then I have a bike session or a cross training session on the Wednesday. So that's about a 30k cycle tonight in the gym until it gets lighter in the evening. Thursday this week is rest. Friday's another bike session, but with them. Threshold intervals in there as well. Saturday's a long run, so that's it's a timed run, so it's, you know, that's a 2 hour 15 minute run. And that's supposed to be, well, it's called an easy run in inverted commas, but it's not a threshold run, and actually after the threshold it feels a little bit more relaxed, but that's going out, and it's 3 minutes running, 1 minute walking. Generally I'll cover, in that sort of time I'll cover the, you know, the 13 miles generally. And then Sundays have recently been either another long walk instead of a long run, so just starting to mimic that back-to-back, two or three walks.
Makes sense.
Or a short run as well. So that's how it's building up. Last week was a 50-mile training week, so it was about 45k of running total and 45k out of cycling with the gym sessions and strength sessions in there as well.
So it's pretty full on.
Yes.
But then saying that, I suppose if you're going to be doing 100 miles over the time you're doing it, yeah, it's going to be, you need to condition your body to be able to cope with that. In terms of your kind of what you're doing and your training at the moment, have you got any kind of build-up races that you're going to be doing to prepare yourself for it, or are you going to be doing all your training by yourself?
Both, so I'm doing a lot of training just myself because of the sort of the variation in times that I can get out. But I have got several build-up races, and it's probably fair to say for this sort of length of run, I'm really aiming for survival. So rather than rather than, you know, killer at marathon times. But I've got the, I think it's called the Shakespeare Half Marathon on the 11th of March on Run Marston Airfield, just to get some event training in. Then on the 9th of April, I'm doing Brighton Marathon as a warm-up event, I like to think, but still doesn't sound quite right. Then on the 1st of May, the Milton Keynes Marathon as a follow-up warm-up event, which my coach handily informed me that will be part of a longer back-to-back weekend, so the marathon will just be part of a long weekend.
Most people will be targeting the marathon by itself. You'll be targeting it as just another run in the weekend. I love that.
Yeah. hanging on to having not run a full marathon yet, I haven't actually even hit marathon distance. That's why I keep saying to my coach, you realise what we're going for. But we're building up the distance gradually and the volume and time on feet. And then basically it's a month from that is the 100-mile run. So.
Wow. That's cool. Well, the Long Marston Airfield, I've done a 10K round there before. And it's flat as a pancake. It is completely flat as a pancake. Brighton, I've heard, is an absolutely amazing marathon, and that's on my list of marathons to run at some point in time. So that's going to be a very that's on my list, which is quite cool.
Hopefully, it'd be nice one to get a sort of a consequential good time on. But I'm conscious that the course will weigh. Is not flat, but I'll deal with that when I get there.
Yeah, exactly. You know, what are a few hills? Fair enough. 100 miles must kind of be tough mentally as well. Not tough mentally, but you have to break it down, I suppose. Have you got any kind of tips for people in terms of mindsets and behaviours when it comes to kind of this large challenge that you've got? Because some people were just looking at me, do you know what, I'd never be able to do that.
Yeah. I think, I mean, I've taken some mindsets from reading a lot of other people's things and great inspirations from Fat Man to Green Man, the book and various other books, but I mean, my core motivation is I'm going to finish it for my dad, so, you know, bar some serious injury, I'll crawl the last bit. Other than that, I mean, when I'm out doing the long runs, you know, things like people said, well, it could be worse, and started, you know, thinking to yourself, how much worse could this be? You know, running in snow, it's ultra hot, or start to get blisters, and actually, then you realise that you're doing all right.
Yeah.
And as you say, breaking it down as well into chunks. So yeah, it's might be 100 miles, but that's 10 mile runs, or 20k run is 2 10ks.
Yeah.
And then there's snacks as well, which is also a good one. Saying, well, actually, yeah, I can eat in half an hour. So yeah. Breaks it down into when you can eat, when the next walk break is, and also the scenery getting out is great as well.
Yeah, true.
That's kind of my mindset at the moment. I'm sure I'll have a slightly different take as the distances go up.
I read the book Ultra Marathon Man by Dean Karnazes.
Yes.
He said he talks about running the first 50 miles with his legs and the last 50 miles with his heart. And I love that quote. I love it. And I think anyone who's going to be doing the challenge that you're doing, certainly got heart to be able to do it.
Yeah, that's it. It's a great book. I'll be more like run the first mile with my legs and the next 99 with heart.
So. Yeah, it's the one. That's the one. So in terms of the kind of how people can get in contact with you and sponsor you, because you're trying to raise money, well, you're raising brilliant money for brain tumor research, how can they?
Well, yeah, great. There's two ways. Well, one way, really, going to the website, www.100milesfordad.com. So that's 100, the number, milesfordad.com. There's the story is on there and linked to my Just Giving page. The Just Giving page is justgiving.com/100milesfordad. And sort of the key image you'll see is me and my dad at the World Cup holding the Web Alice Trophy.
Oh, brilliant.
Those are the key ways, and I'm just trying to recently encourage businesses through the same donation portal to see if businesses would consider sponsoring a mile. And this is businesses together. Little donations make a big difference. Mm-hmm. So asking businesses if they would sponsor 1 mile for £28, found if I get 100 businesses then together, businesses would have made a difference and sponsored one day of research for brain tumor research.
Perfect. So go to Just Giving site, go to your website and get involved.
Yeah, be great. And you can follow me on Twitter, Mal_Boyd. And there's links that has updates on how I'm doing.
Brilliant.
Also has updates, and you can follow it there as well.
But lovely.
Any and all support and follow is much appreciated.
Cool. And did you say you're on Facebook as well? Have you got a Facebook page?
Yeah, I'm on Facebook. It's Malcolm Boyd. It's my page. And there's weekly updates on there as well.
Perfect. Well, thank you very much, Malcolm. We'll catch up again closer to the event. And really well done. You've got my full support. Well played.
Thank you. Really appreciate it.
Cheers.
What a man and what a story. Thank you very much, Malcolm, for being a guest on today's show. And remember, check out his website, check out his Just Giving page and find out a little bit more information about the charity that he is supporting. And let's really get behind him. What he's trying to do is absolutely fantastic, and I caught up with him a few days ago and his training is right on track, and he's actually in a week off, which might sound strange, but he's allowing his body to relax and recover and absorb the training. Malcolm, I take my cap off to you. You rock. Thank you very much for listening to today's podcast. If you want to hear more, check us out on iTunes and Audioboom. But have a great week, everyone. See you next week.